Trexploration.
It's asteroid blasting time! Hello, Trexplorers!
Hi!
And welcome back to Trexploration! We got a brand new Star Trek series to talk about. Episode 1, we're breaking it down. We are talking about the episode with the soap, bar soap comet?
You should maybe name the series. The new series is Star Trek Scouts.
Star Trek Scouts! Woo! Are you a Star Trek Scout? I'm a Trexplorer and a Star Trek Scout. What about you? Ask your parents to subscribe down below. What the heck are we doing? Christopher DeFilippis, I'm Albie, and this is Chris.
Hi, it's
me. We're talking Star Trek Scouts, and I'm stoked. We got a surprise Star Trek series.
I've never seen Albie so alive in the many years I've known him. I think this is what he was like when he was on the professional wrestling tour, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. This series is speaking to me. It was made for me, I think.
I think it was.
I'm not going to brag, but there's a decision point in this episode, and I chose correctly.
Good for you.
I think they took my idea, and it worked.
I think that, Albie, you're tuned in. You're tuned into the kids.
I'm excited. This is all brand new. It dropped today. It was a surprise. We don't know who directed it. We don't know who wrote it. We'll get you that in another time.
I guess at some point, yeah.
But this is just first reactions. And this is Asteroid Blasters number 1.
Yes.
Soapy Asteroid Space.
Soapy Asteroid in Space.
In Space.
So it looks to me like this is one of the genres of these episodes. They have the asteroid blasting episodes because this is one of two asteroid blasting episodes that they use to illustrate what Star Trek Scouts is all about. So, and I'm going to tell you what this episode of Star Trek Scouts is all about with my famous episode recaps. I didn't even write this one down. Are you ready?
I'm excited. I'm waiting with bated breath.
I'm going to guess it's an average day in the headquarters / compound / rumpus room for the Star Trek Scouts gang. And we find Sprocket helping JR fix his rocket boots. And one turn of the screw, Sprocket says, "You're all good to go, JR." And JR goes, "Yay, whoa." And he flies through the air uncontrollably. But don't worry, because it's Rue to the rescue. She comes sweeping in on her hoverboard, catches JR, and saves him from a certain death, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty
that
much
would
implied.
Have been tragic. He would have died.
He would have been a smear on the dome that is the ceiling of the Star Trek
Scouts. I mean, inertia is not something to mess with.
Headquarters. Yeah. Yeah. This would have been.
Look,
this
third
would have
law.
Been,
look it up, kids.
Yeah. But enough of these hijinks, because we have an emergency coming. Sprocket's little toddler phone beeps, and it's an asteroid alert. It seems that a giant bar of soap has escaped from the Bathnar Nebula and is
not
headed
a Bathnar Nebula
right for the Star Trek Scouts headquarters. So what do? We get into our seats and we take action. What's the catchphrase, Albie?
It's asteroid blasting time.
There we go. Just like the lovable thing. It's clobbering time for that
it's
asteroid.
It's clobbering time. Yeah, I got clobbering time from it too.
Yes. So JR apparently sits in the center seat. I guess he's the captain. Rue takes the helm and Sprocket takes navigation, or that would be the traditional place. But this is not a starship. This is apparently a death laser station, because what they do is they extend the asteroid blaster out of the dome of the Star Trek Scouts headquarters and aim it at the bar of soap. And then the little spinny wheel comes up.
And we go, Oh, Trekkies.
What do we pick to get this?
What are our options?
We got to stop the bar of soap. Now, this is where it gets a little weird for me, because the wheel just spins by itself. And there's no real choice involved. It just seems random, like Wheel of Fortune.
It is random, right?
It is random, right?
So we're hoping
it lands on the most obvious thing that you use to fight a bar of soap, a Romulan rubber ducky. So they shoot this poor rubber ducky out to meet its fate on this bar of soap, and everybody's waiting with bated breath, biting their nails. Sprocket's biting his metal fingers. He's got a lot of broken teeth, that poor kid.
Yeah, probably.
And Lo and behold, the rubber ducky bounces right off the bar. So
oh, I guess the this rubber is our ducky. Hurdle.
Yeah, this wasn't a good choice, this rubber ducky. Maybe you shouldn't pick randomly, kids. Maybe you should put some critical thinking into your processes.
Let's put some thought into this.
Maybe that's what they're trying to teach you there. Mm-hmm. So, but I guess they didn't learn the lesson yet because the random wheel spins again. And it lands on macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. That's how I stop a bar of soap,
into
right?
The chamber. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we got to calibrate the macaroni and cheese, lock macaroni and cheese on target. And, oh, no, they go to fire and there's nothing there. So
go? What happened?
It's Rue to the rescue. She goes to see what's going on and she follows the trail of macaroni and cheese. I guess it's Zip, the dog, really sees like a macaroni
puppy.
And cheese trail.
You little puppy.
And he leads them right to what appears to be a warthog / wild boar that's eating the bowl of macaroni and cheese. But Rue seems to really like this thing. It turns out that it is a Targ from the planet Kronos.
It's Klingon!
It's a Klingon dog thing. Yeah, I think it's kind of like a warthog.
Yeah,
but
I know I want one.
I know, yeah. Well, I mean, you also are dressed like JR, so...
Yeah.
You're going to have to fight Rue for the warthog. So I guess they let go of the whole macaroni and cheese idea because the Targ ate the entire thing. And then it burps in their faces. It's adorable.
And so, then Sprocket smells the burp, right?
Yeah. And he says it's very cheesy.
Okay.
Very cheesy. We're actually recounting this episode beat for beat, and it's taking 10 times longer than the actual episode. So what do they do next? Well, they only have two choices left on the wheel of fate. And this time you get to choose. They say, do you want to choose the buttered pumpernickel toast to stop the bar of soap or a vat of water to turn it into bubbles?
Water! And
I think everybody chooses water because you want to save that pumpernickel toast for your victory celebration after the fact.
Yeah, so, like the marble rye.
They somehow launch a vat of water out of the laser thing in the dome into space.
It's a transport laser.
Right? It's a transport laser, and the water doesn't freeze in vacuum. It stays wet. Hits the bar of soap, turns it to nothing but bubbles. There was much rejoicing in the Star Trek Scout headquarters that day, my friends. And everybody's dancing around, and all the bubbles start raining down on them. And it's their sweet. It's like the tears of the soap. And they're tasting sweet victory. They're licking the tears of the soap. And it's very Cartman.
Victory!
And, of course, the Targ, since it likes to eat everything, it eats the mac and cheese, it sees a bubble and it swallows it. And it starts floating in the air. But don't worry, Rue is on her hoverboard. She rescues the Targ and she says, I'm going to name you Bubbles. Whoa. And everybody's like, ha ha!
Bubbles.
And then they all high five. And they say, discover, grow, and boldly go. That's our catchphrase,
Star Trek Scouts. Wow. Thank you for that episode synopsis, Chris. That was amazing.
I can't believe I remembered all everything. That. It was so intricate. We had to watch it a few times.
Yeah. What were your first impressions on this episode, Chris?
My first impressions are I had no idea that podcasting or YouTubing about Star Trek would bring me to this place. That's my. What's your first impression, Albie?
Okay. At first, I was like, what the heck is this? This doesn't seem like something I understand. Watch it a couple times, get into it more and more, and now I'm excited. I'll tell you why I'm excited. I'm a parent. Mm-hmm. I went through a phase where we had Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, we had Paw Patrol, we had all these, you know, the little pig one. What is that?
Peppa Pig.
Right? Had all these things, right? And when you go to the store, you can buy the kid the toys they want, you know, and they're those. But also I bought my kid, you know, a little plush Enterprise, a Tribble, you know, all the things. But those are like, you know, only from StarTrek.com and stuff. But what if you can walk into the mega store, buy diapers with these characters on them? What if you can go and get like the preschool toys of Bubbles and Star and Sprocket and Rue and JR. And I'll sign it for you if I meet you in real life.
Right.
So I think it's fun. And I think little kids that are like 4 or 5 that are watching this, that are into this, and their parents are probably Trekkies if they put this on for them. And they're like, wow, it's this. I like Star Trek. It's like Star Trek that dad or mom watches, that my parent watches. So I want to watch Star Trek with my parent. So this is the first one's free, kids. That's my first impression.
It's a gateway Trek, is what you're
saying? Exactly. It's a gateway Trek. Like Prodigy was supposed to be a gateway Trek, but not really. But this is definitely gateway Trek. Thoughts, Chris?
I'm trying to see how this is gateway Trek, besides the fact that Star Trek is in the name and they have a couple of deltas here and there.
Everywhere.
I'm still waiting for this series to connect to the vast
canon.
Well,
you know, they say the first season is Star Trek show.
Right? You have to get your own footing, I suppose. But I have no idea what to think of this. I guess it's good. I have no kids. I have no barometer. I think the last thing that I saw that was close to something like this was when my nephews liked Blue's Clues. So
we just got a letter.
So when they had Mrs. Salt and Mr. Pepper and Miss Paprika.
Oh, yeah,
or
I remember
something
them.
Like that. Yeah, so
I remember them.
And that was cute. That was cute back then. I guess this is cute enough. I want to be positive. I want kids to discover Star Trek. I'm just hoping that there is a bridge between this and that without parental. Yeah. Without parental interference.
This is not Measure of a Man. But for what
better.
It is.
It's better.
For what it is, I think it was done very well and excellent. I think they nailed what they were going for. Because 4 minutes, that's the attention span of anybody born lately, right? I mean, I was trying to tell Rennie earlier about, what is it? Doctor or Judge Dredd, where he's driving in the car with Sandra Bullock, and everything is like 20 seconds or less on the radio.
I am the law.
Exactly. That's where we are. So 4 minutes is like long form for young.
So you're talking about Sly Stallone, Judge Dredd, not Carl Urban, Dr. McCoy, Judge Dredd.
I've seen both. That's I like Stallone version better. You have to
revoke your Star Trek card now. You don't want McCoy Dredd.
Well, I got both. I got the 3D Blu-ray of Bones as Dredd. But, you know, it's okay. It's just shooty. It's not story and comedy, so.
Gotcha. And you do need story and comedy in your Judge Dredd. If Peacemaker has taught us anything.
Second, third. Oh, check that out on our members only section. We were kids. So if you're watching this show and Peacemaker, ask your parents to join our members only thing, and then you can watch our reviews on Peacemaker season 2. Coming out weekly. All right. Ask your parents first if you can watch Peacemaker, because they might say yes. They might say no. You don't know. I don't know.
Pretty funny.
So I like the idea of walking into the Mega Mart and getting the diapers with the Star Trek logo on it. I like the idea of getting the pouch of applesauce with the Klingon Targ, and it says Star Trek Scouts on it. So, yes, I like it.
All right. Like I'm the bag of apples.
Will I buy the comforter? Will I buy the pillowcases? Yes.
I think it's telling to me that the first thing that you find this series worthy of is diapers. I'm going to leave that right there.
I bought a lot of them in my life.
So,
a lot of them.
Because there's a different implication.
Luckily, my daughter's intelligent and, you know, she got potty trained in the space of 30 minutes.
I was going to say, she doesn't need those diapers anymore.
No, it's been a while.
But I think they're for you now, right?
But an example, pretty soon. but the example is I bought the potty train and toilet, right? It was Minnie Mouse. What if it was Rue or JR and it was a captain's chair?
I wouldn't want it to be Sprocket because you don't know where that arm is going to come out and what it's going to do.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be one of those Japanese toilets that take care of everything for you.
Yeah. We don't need that. No.
But bragging about my kid being potty trained in 30 minutes. I just said, that's the toilet. And she said, okay. And that was it.
All right, so what was your favorite part of this episode, Albert?
Well, before we get to my favorite part, I have to mention there were some character dynamics going on in this, right? JR is the captain, right? He's getting along
apparently
with Rue.
He gets in the center seat.
But Rue, right? Did you notice she friend-zoned him right away?
No, I didn't.
She said, you're a good friend. And he was like, yeah, I guess I am.
You know, they're eight.
I was eight. I liked 8-year-old girls when I was eight. Now I'm 50. I like 38-year-old girls. You know, that's how that works. when that the macaroni and cheese introduced us to a new character in this episode. We get a brand new character in this episode. Well, all of them. But Bubbles. Bubbles has to be one of my favorite characters. Who's one of your favorite characters in this?
My favorite character is Sprocket.
Sprocket?
Yeah, he's the smiley, happy Vulcan, and he has to do that. That's a brave front he puts on for the trauma of having his arm ripped off viciously.
Yeah, I think they missed the boat with maybe getting Eugene Cordero to voice that part as well, because that would have been cool.
I think it should have been, what's his name? The guy that did Jacob Pod.
Oh, Jacob Pod.
He's in everything. Him.
I don't know his name. It's one of those names.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You'd know him if you heard him.
Yes.
Anyway, that joke would have landed better if I actually knew that guy's name. But hey, Star Trek. Guess what I need to do? Now I've learned my lesson. I need to discover, grow, and boldly go.
Yeah.
And then I'll remember the name of that dude who does a lot of voice acting.
Yes. Zach Fralofinat. No, that's a different beard.
No, that's a different guy.
Okay, so favorite part of the episode, did we do that yet? What's your favorite part, Chris?
My favorite part is the death laser that just comes out of nowhere and can shoot anything. What's your favorite part, Albie?
Yeah, they're kind of teaching kids that, you know, shooty first.
Yeah, shoot
but
first.
I guess you got to condense the story down, right? And it's more of a transporter than a laser weapon, I think.
I think I saw a red beam shooting out of this thing, at least in the previews.
He says it's asteroid blasting time.
I mean, JR is asteroids. Like he's Blofeld Jr. is what he is.
And there's only one button on his chair, and all it does is shoot laser.
All it does exactly. He's got that's his problem solving right there.
Yeah.
Hit the shiny red button.
Probably not teaching the right message.
I can't wait until Star Trek Scouts has its year in hell episodes.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. There's going to be some heavy ones coming. They're starting out strong. But there's going to be like ethical dilemmas. And like JR is going to straight up murder Sprocket one time.
There's going to be one's going to rip your guts out at some point.
Oh, yeah. When Sprocket dies.
Right.
You can tell me. Jason Metagazic.
Matsoukas. Jason Matsoukas.
Jason Matsoukas. Thank you, production assistant. Yeah. So, wow.
See, we learned our lesson. This is like an episode of Star Trek Scouts.
It is. We're learning as we go. So I'm willing to start over, learn new lessons, keep up with the times, and I think Star Trek Scouts will help me with that.
Oh, okay. Did you spot the 47 in this?
I did not. Was there one?
It's the 47 incorrect choices they made to shoot at that asteroid before they came on the bucket of water.
If they shot the pumpernickel at the bar of soap, I don't know if it would just lack credulity to me.
Thank God they didn't go that way, because honestly, I think they would have sold out.
Yeah, I think it would have jumped the shark right there.
Yeah, they kept it real.
The fact that they threw water at it in space and it didn't freeze. Not teaching good science, but teaching two things that go good together. Soap and water. And guess what? You like that episode, kids. Let's take a bath. It's bath time. Right?
That's creepy. We better end this now.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, you get the kid to take a bath.
Stop saying anything.
They don't want to take a bath.
Stop saying
it. Okay, so episode crush. I'll tell you who my episode crush was for this episode. It was Bubbles, the little Targ. Oh, I just want to hold it and hug it and pet it and love it.
My episode crush was the Romulan rubber ducky.
Romulan rubber ducky. That was a good one.
Because I have
Romulan,
I have a Morty rubber ducky. So
I have an Uhura rubber ducky.
So there we go. Stacy gave this to me. Thank you, Susie Q.
Oh, thank you, Stacy. I want to see like guest stars. I want to see Janeway come on the bridge. That'd be great. Who else? Tuvix.
I want to see Sisko come back from the wormhole.
Oh, wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
If that was how he came back, and like people that didn't want to watch this show, they had to, because I mean Sisko's on it.
I can't wait until Vic Fontaine makes a guest appearance.
That'd
because
be great.
You know that whole thing's got to be wired for holograms.
Yeah. Old Jake Sisko that just took the shot. He's gonna walk through.
he's gonna read them chapters from his latest book.
Exactly. And then Rue will just be like, oh, you're my favorite author. And JR will be like, what about me? I draw in crayon books. I color. Inside the lines. It's going to be a
I'll have you know I saved you from that soap bar asteroid from the Bathnar Nebula.
With not rubber duckies, with a red button on the chair.
Why don't you tell Hotshot over here to throw a simile at it, see what that gets you.
Look up that word, kids. Simile. All right. So it's time for final thoughts and ratings for episode one of Star Trek Scouts. They defeat the soapy asteroid in space. Asteroid Blasters number one. Final thoughts and ratings, Chris.
Out of five. I'm gonna give this a solid 2.5. Two and a half mangled sprocket arms out of five. I think that it is a middle of the road debut for Star Trek Scouts. It just gives us the broad parameters of what you might find on the show, but I mean, there are a lot of different deeper levels that I think they have yet to delve. So once they start doing that, I might get up to threes and fours. But right now, I feel like we're just getting started.
All right.
How about you?
For me, I think as pilots go, it's not the strongest pilot, but like I said earlier, I think they achieved what they went for. I think this is what they wanted, and I think they accomplished the mission.
It's probably better than Encounter at Farpoint. You got to give it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen a bigger cast, maybe like more of an ensemble, but it'd be hard in the limited time to get everybody's, you know, stuff in.
Yeah, and who knows?
But maybe in the future.
It could be a rotating team of Star Trek Scouts.
Oh, that's true, because right? We've only seen the first two episodes and a glimpse of season three.
When the founders come and find them, it can be a cast of thousands. Yeah.
Oh, and when the Jem'Hadar invade and, the Borg are going to attack them and put the things in their necks and they're going to,
That's what I think. Maybe, you know what? We that's the obvious thing. Sprocket is part Borg.
Oh, you think he'll be activated?
That, or can someone get Don Adams to voice
Vulcan
him?
Borg? Oh. Would you believe?
Is Tennessee Tuxedo dead?
Maybe. They got people that could do that voice, though, I think. So out of five, I'm going to give this a strong four. I'm going to say...
Whoa. There's nowhere to go but down from a four.
No, there's. I could go up to a five because, kids, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Count with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Subscribe. 5.
Ask your parents first. This episode gets 4 slices of buttered pumpernickel toast.
Out of five.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that 2 slices or 4 1 slices? Because that would be 8
4
slices.
4 1 slices.
Okay.
So 4 times 1, kids, is 4.
Does that include the pat of butter?
Extra butter. Come on.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
So if it was 2 slices times 4, that would be 8. Wow. See, we're learning already. So overall, waking up this morning not knowing there was this series to reviewing it right now, yeah, I'll give it a 4. And say job well done to everybody involved, and I can't wait to see where this series takes us.
I'm kind of hooked. Epic Star Trek.
Kind of hooked. So if you like this, like, subscribe, ring that bell, become a member, ask your parents if you can send a super like, and join us. Hit join. And we'll be back with another review soon. So stay subscribed and let's boldly go.
Discover boldly go Star Trek Scouts.